Businesses and commercial interests across Northern Ireland, as well as the main political parties there, have expressed alarm at new rules announced this week to restrict migrant workers to the UK after Brexit. Under the plan, foreign workers, including those from EU countries, will have to qualify under criteria to work in Britain or Northern Ireland. The scheme is designed to end what the British government describes as, and I quote, reliance on cheap labour from Europe. By only issuing visas to well-qualified English-speaking workers for jobs paying a minimum of £25,600 per year. So what would the scheme mean for border businesses, which rely on EU workers? We can talk now to Conor Patterson, who's Chief Executive of Newry and Mourne Enterprise Office, and Micheál Briody, Managing Director of Monaghan-based Silver Hill Foods, which operates on both sides of the border. A very good morning to you both, and thank you indeed for talking to us this morning. Micheál, perhaps I can come first to you to tell us a little bit about your business, who you employ, and how these new rules, so far as we understand how they might operate, could affect your workforce.
Yeah, well, I suppose we're a duck processor here in Emmyvale, and Emmyvale is right on the border, south of the border. We have sites in Auchnacloy, Ballygally, and Oma as well. We would have farms, we would have workers north and south. And I suppose the main issue that we're going to have is that any of the non-Irish or UK workers in our Northern Ireland sites, they will be deemed immigrants from January the 1st next based on these proposals. So they will need a visa. Now, as you've alluded to, it's a point system, and in our case, to qualify, they will need a job offer, which obviously they will have because they have jobs in place. They need to be able to speak English and earn over 25.6k sterling to get to 70 points. So we do have a number of those workers. I mean, the way we're going to look at it is we will work with our employees and take them from start to finish through the process. We don't want them unduly worried about that admin work, so we will resource that as required centrally. But we've seen it coming. It's been well flagged, but it's, I suppose, the start of the practicalities of Brexit is hitting us now.
Right. So this affects then EU workers who may live in the south or in the north, but who are working in your factories in Northern Ireland, in your businesses in Northern Ireland. What sort of numbers are we talking about there?
Well, I think we've about 15 at the moment that would be non-Irish or UK, because the common travel area pact obviously covers Irish workers as well. So they're okay to sort of work in the UK and vice versa. So we could have 15 that we will have to sort of make sure that we can get those visas in place. Now, the difficulty we would have is the salary level to some degree, that if you have part-time workers, how that will sort of work out, because we would have sort of some people that would come in and do jobs in mornings, which would be sort of if married women or people who, you know, mothers, etc., that would do work from maybe from 10 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock. So they won't qualify, they won't get up to the point. So what we would be hoping is that, you know, the people that have jobs in situ would be given a derogation or an amnesty, and that, you know, that they would be fast-tracked through, because they're not going to maybe, they're not going to qualify via the salary level or the skill level, because the skill level in some cases goes up to PhD level.
Right. I'll come back to you in a moment if I might, Micheál, but Conor Patterson from the Newry and Mourne Enterprise Office, how typical is the situation being faced by Micheál there and Silver Hill Foods for companies elsewhere, particularly border businesses?
Well, the concern, Brian, is that we have full employment, not just in this border region around Newry, but across Northern Ireland, unemployment just over 2%. And we have a labour shortage. There are hundreds of vacancies across sectors like healthcare, hospitality, food processing, manufacturing that are currently unfilled. And those sectors already rely on actually thousands of workers across Northern Ireland who are continental EU citizens and have come here to live and work. There's demand for their labour. And the concern is the discouragement that all of this will be for people in the future that we're likely to need to come here. So it's very worrying. We've had no guidance as to how this is going to work in practice. And it's just been said, the issue of the salary level. I mean, wages in Northern Ireland are significantly lower than they are in Britain. That hasn't been taken into account at all. We have political consensus here, unusual enough, but a good thing that this just cannot work in Northern Ireland. And representation has been made by all parties to the British government that there needs to be a special arrangement for Northern Ireland, although thus far that seems to be falling on deaf ears.
Well, the statement, and I'm reading it here from the British government this week in relation to this, is that the stated objective, as I've reminded listeners, is to reduce this reliance, as they describe it, on cheap labour. Employers, they say, will need to adjust, although they do add that they'll monitor any pressures in key sectors. Do you take any comfort from that?
Not really. Employers needing to adjust sounds simple, but in the real world that has consequences, because if employers can't find labour, employers will not be able to produce the goods, crops will go unpicked potentially, fish will lie at the dockside unprocessed. Who cares for our elderly with complex needs in care homes? I mean, these are jobs that have not been attractive to local people. And in any case, the pool of people that Priti Patel referred to, the so-called economically inactive, in practice those people are active as students or as carers and aren't available to come into the labour force. So straightforwardly, we just do not have the people, and the relationship we've had as a member of the EU until Brexit with workers from the EU has been a productive one. They've settled here. We haven't had problems in integrating those people into our communities. They've added to our communities. They pay taxes.
And Micheál, for your business, leaving aside the disruption to the individuals involved, their lives and their livelihoods, for you, the challenge of, if you had to try and replace those workers locally, would that just be at all possible?
No, it's very, very difficult, because I agree with Conor. Like, there is a labour shortage along the border region. We're blessed that it's a very entrepreneurial area, but that means too that there's quite a shortage of labour. For example, we would have taken in Ukrainian workers recently on work permits through the Republic of Ireland, but we can't even do that currently on the Northern Ireland sites, where we do have a labour shortage, because they have to come with certain qualifications. And what we're primarily looking for there is sort of for farm workers to work on our duck farms. So, we're struggling at the moment to fill those spots. I mean, if you take out the non-nationals, then, you know, it's exasperating our issue on getting those positions filled.
Mm. Conor, you mentioned the unusual political consensus in relation to this in Northern Ireland, and I see Geoffrey Donaldson of the DUP suggesting, for example, that the qualifying salary level be reduced, and that might help. Would that make a difference?
It would make a difference, yes, but I suppose that the concern beyond that is how this is to be policed, administered, how non-compliance will be handled. There are many concerns we have, and overarching all of that is just how this is being compressed into such a short time frame. You know, by the 1st of January next year, all of this comes into play. And that, alongside the complexity of the trade negotiations, where they're going to take us, it's worrying for business in general here, north and south of the border. You know, we're operating in an all-Ireland labour market, an all-Ireland economy and practice. Multiple sectors have integrated over the last 20 years. So, look, it's a good thing that we have political consensus on this, and that's been building, and that's something that we welcome, and business is working closely with the executive on this to try and make representation. But it's difficult given the shape of the British government as it is now, with the size of the majority they have, and how prepared they're going to be to listen to us. Well, that's an open question.
All right, we shall see. There we leave it. Conor Patterson from the Newry and Mourne Enterprise Office, and Micheál Briody from Silverhill Foods. Thank you both very much indeed for talking to us.